Let's welcome into the conversation Mike Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Mike?
Good morning. I'm wondering, what is the statute of limitations about how far back you could, like, there you can see why he was the Silver Stick MVP when he was in Pee Wee. That kind of talent. Like, I get it. Zach is having a good year. Everyone's having a good year. He is very talented. But, like, I don't know if we can go back 8 years and referencing a draft spot because he hit a wrister under the bar. That seemed like a bit of a stretch. But you know what? It's all good. Boston commentators have a tendency to lay it on thick sometimes for the home team.
yes, absolutely on that. So it was an interesting game last night, Mike, as I watched the entire game. And would that be a game, and again, it's one game out of 82, and it's the last game before the All-Star break, mm-hmm. but would that be a game that Brendan Shannon, Kyle Dubas, Sheldon Keefe would look at their team? And for me, I thought, you know, like Boston was just, they were just a little bit better than Toronto in every aspect of the game. Would they read a lot into last night's game, or is it just, as I said, one game out of 82?
Somehow they're going to do both, right? Like, I think their brain and their rational part of their thought will be, yeah, it's one game out of the 82. We don't have Austin Matthews, and, like, you're not going to beat Boston without Austin Matthews, right? Like, that's, like, in a game you will, but you would never beat them in a series without him playing. So he's such an important part of the team. If you don't have him, that's going to hurt your chances. And Samsonov has been, you know, a godsend for Toronto in net, especially at home. He wasn't great, as good as that laser wrister was. Like, it was still from 40 feet, and I'd expect my goaltender to save that. Like, he was outplayed by the other goaltender, which, you know, is going to be a problem against any team, let alone one as good as Boston. So, you know, you could talk it away. Yes, it was the last game, but it was also the last game for Boston. And if you were not focused and they were a little more focused than that, that says something about the mindset of your team that you might not like. So that's the rational part. Like, it's okay. I think the Leafs are 4-2 against the Bruins the last 2 years. It's not like they've been unable to play and beat Boston in the regular season. But it was also a big game. It felt like a big game. It had the attention of the big game. Brad Marchand stirred up the media like it was a big game. And they came out and maybe didn't have their best in what is a big game. And that's the part that would be concerning. Because the Leafs, quite frankly, in their biggest games the last 5 years, and they've been in so many of them, this group largely hasn't had their best game in those biggest moments, in those game sevens, the game five deciders. Like, they've had plenty of chances to win playoff series, and they just haven't had a great game to do so. So that would be the concerning part. I mean, you could talk about Sandy, you know, third pair guys struggle a little bit. You know, I don't know, do they need to get upgraded because they lost to Boston? No, but you don't love the way that game went down if you're the Toronto Maple Leaf brain trust.
What is that last game before the All-Star break like for players, whether you're going to the All-Star game or maybe going on a bit of a vacation with the break coming up? Obviously, players are motivated for all 82 games, but is there anything maybe distracting or different about that last game before the All-Star break?
Oh, you're being way too kind to players to suggest we're equally motivated for all 82 games, because we're not. The same way, if you're going on a 10-day vacation tomorrow, are you thinking about it today? Yeah, a little bit. You know, like, they know they have plans, they have flights, they have hotels and golf dates and buddies to catch up with. And it's human nature to be excited about that, be thinking about that. And in some ways, it's almost better in that last game to be on the road because it's a little more forced hockey focus. When you're at home, like, you know, like, your bags might literally be packed. Like, some guys would be flying out at 11 p.m. last night after the game. Like, that's how quickly guys will get out of there. Some guys, fortunately enough for them, can take, like, private jets places, and they'll have their transportation waiting for them post-game to get them where they're going to. Like, that's how quickly they get out of town. So it is not distracting. It's awesome. It's a great luxury to have. But to suggest they are solely focused on the game last night, not true. Not true at all, especially for the home team, because they can get away that much quicker. And if they're traveling with family or friends or spouses or significant others, they're also right there with them in Toronto, presumably, getting ready to go. And that's also, you know, in your ear, planning and arranging and preparing. So, yeah, not ideal. And I think you saw a lot of teams on their last game getting a little sloppy, like the Ottawa-Montreal game was awesome to watch. I don't think the coaches would have loved how those teams played their last game a couple nights ago, but it was almost understandable knowing that everyone's taken off for a couple weeks afterwards.
Do you think, and be purely a guess on your part, but between now and March 3rd, that Toronto is going to make a trade of significance? Do you believe that they need to, and do you think they will? Which I guess is two separate questions.
I think yes to both. I do, yeah. I mean, I think they like. I think their team is good enough to not make a big deal if everyone's healthy and have a coin toss series against Tampa. Yeah, but I think they need to because they have two more years with Austin Matthews and William Nylander signed. Then who knows? Like, you don't know. This team will be entirely different. Tavares will be continuing to get older, salary cap issues, all the rest that we know. So I think like you have to be super aggressive because for the Leafs, amazingly, it's not just about making the playoffs. They're going to do that. It's not even about winning a round, which seems like it should be because they can't do it. It's about winning four rounds. Like, they believe their team is good enough to win a Stanley Cup. So, like, I think you have to mortgage the future, even though you don't want to, and we know that the risks associated in trading young players or prospects or picks to get rentals or whatever it might be, guys that can help you in the playoffs, it doesn't always work. Actually, rarely works. I still think you have to. I think they would love to get another top six winger. Everyone says Timo Meier. I don't know if that guy's affordable. Maybe it's Bart. Like, I think they need one of those guys, and they probably go get a little meat on the back end at Gavrikov and Scott Mayfield. Like, I think they're going to try to do that, and I think they should.
Now, Mike, the All-Star game can be a little bit of a divisive issue for some hockey fans, but what in your opinion is most exciting about this weekend, and why is it the Tkachuk brothers?
Yeah, right. Well, listen, I think a big part of it will be the Tkachuk brothers. The fact that they get to play together is awesome in the same team. And, you know, I played with Walt, their dad, twice. I remember Matt and Brady running around as toddlers on the ice with me. Like, I skated with Matthew when he was two in Arizona. Like, you know, when he comes waddling out on the ice. Like, I think it's such a unique family moment. But also because they're such unique players and personalities, it'll be great. And listen, if you're a diehard, tried-and-true hockey fan, the All-Star game might not be for you, right? Like, it's not real. It's not serious. It's not like hockey. And that's okay. It's not really for you. It's for growing the game. It's for the business partners of the game. It's for the young fans who want to see tricky shootout moves and skill competitions and highlight reels and no defense. And that's what they want. And that's what they get. And that's why it's good for those people. But I think it will be fun to, I imagine, the entire Tkachuk family will be down there. So to be able to catch up with all of them. And to just to think about like how different the path is for Matthew and Brady and how they've gotten to this All-Star game with Matthew switching teams and picking his spots and Brady kind of committing as a young captain to one spot. It's just they're both very different, but both exceptional. And I imagine they'll stir something up. I mean, come on. They're the Tkachuks. Like, they're probably going to hit somebody in the first game of the 3-on-3 if they can, which will be fun to watch.
Buffalo's Tage Thompson, who was scheduled to be the Sabres representative at the All-Star game, was injured last night in the second period. There was no update after. Confirm or deny, all the other Sabre players, when they saw him injured, put their phones on mute and were incommunicado regarding any call from the NHL going to the All-Star game because they all wanted to take flights to warm places.
Yeah, you know what? So I would say no. I mean, that's very true. Why is nobody from Seattle going? Because everyone in Seattle's gone somewhere, and they don't want to interrupt whatever they're doing to go play in an All-Star game. But I think, given the fact that Buffalo is still playing, like, they haven't left yet, for Alex Tuck to go down there, like, you know, it would be 2 days. Then your vacation could start Sunday instead of starting, Thursday. True. You know, it's going to cost you 3 days. I would tell them, go. Like, you never know if you're... Well, Rasmus Dahlin should go, really, given what he's done statistically. He probably deserves to be there anyways. Go, because you never know if you're going to get that opportunity again, and you'll have still a week off afterwards. But it's true. It's very true. I remember, was it Brian Elliott, when he was the goalie for St. Louis? He was actually already down in wherever, Turks and Caicos, and he got a call, can you come back? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, home, it was his home team to play in the All-Star game in St. Louis, but... you know, a lot of guys would say, no, I'm good. I don't need that. I'd rather have the rest and the relaxation than the whatever the honor is of playing in it or participating in an All-Star game.
And Mike, the Sens are on a bit of a heater here, 4-game win streak. They're at this point in the season, 24-23-3, not exactly the record we thought they would have at this point heading into this season. How much should we make of this kind of recent hot streak? And, you know, how do you explain why the Sens are where they are at this point in the season?
Well, I mean, I explained the recent hot streak because, like, the Sens are pretty good. Like, you know, like, they're a team that's good enough to run off four or five in a row. The goaltending has been sharp enough. The power play has been very good, as it has been all year long. And so they've won some games, which is awesome. Why their record is the way it is? It's because they're not that good, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not an elite-level team. They're a team that's probably going to be a few games over 500. If you would have said they finished with 86 points this year, I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. They won't make the playoffs. They'll probably be 6-8 points shy of that. And that's probably what they're going to be when it's all said and done. I know it's exciting to think of them as 6 points out. That's not very far, and it's not. But when there's five teams between you and or however many teams there are in a playoff spot, it's a lot. Games in hand come into play. There's a lot of different things that have to go into it to get to the playoffs. But, you know, I just think they are kind of what we thought they might be, or what I thought they might be, a really good offensive team, could score goals, mediocre goaltending that has some really good hot moments and some other moments where they're kind of average, and then probably slightly less than average defensively with some of the reads in their own end. And that's kind of what they are. And when you are a team like that, you are a 500-ish team, and they are a 500-ish team. But they, given how they're playing, they're probably a team that did not want to go on All-Star break. Like, you're rolling like this. You finally got it going. You got a little chemistry. Greg's playing with Giroux, and Giroux's 20 again, having fun with his new buddy. Like, they probably want to keep going until it ends and then go on their break, because they don't want to have to try to restart the momentum 10 days from now when they get back to it.
So they made a really interesting decision. A lot of teams, especially with young players that are bouncing between their minor league team and the big league team, will send them back down during the NHL All-Star break, and the Sens did that with Ridly Greig and a couple other players. With Greig, though, Mike, they sent him down to Belleville, but he's only going to practice. He's not going to play in any of the games. And, you know, what do you – you know, I'm kind of the opinion of you can't – bubble wrap players. I understand it, but I don't to a certain extent. What do you think about that decision? How does that speak to, after four games, the importance the organization has on Ridly Greig being available to play in NHL games?
Yeah, I guess that's my first instinct. If you're Ridly Greig, you feel pretty good about that. I mean, you're not happy you're going to Belleville. You'd rather get your NHL salary by lying on a beach. But I think the idea that they're treating you as such a pivotal piece going forward, that we want you to go to the minors because that's the appropriate thing to do, because you can. You stay in game shape because you'll be able to practice, but we're not going to risk it because you're so important to us that we're not even going to risk you playing in a game. Like, I guess that does speak volumes about what they need out of him and how pivotal he's been to this recent run. And the idea that for all the talk about development and young kids and everything else, like, you, the organization, Pierre Dorion, cannot deny that they have an eye on trying to make the playoffs still, right? Like, they have not turned the page at all on trying to make the playoffs, because they're not going to let a guy go play in the minors. And I wonder then if he just gets, like, I don't know where Belleville's schedule is the next 10 days. He probably won't have to travel the games then, right? Like, he won't be on the bus going places. Like, I guess if they're going to go play 3-3, he's probably, I don't know, would he get just to stay in Belleville and skate there with somebody, whoever's around, to make his life that much easier? So it's interesting. It's unusual. I suppose I kind of get it. If I'm the player, I'm probably not even bothered by, I mean, I'm not bothered by not playing games. I'm not desperate to get into another American Hockey League game. But I think it more speaks to where the mindset of the organization is about their chances this year. And they are clinging to them as though they are still realistic to make the playoffs.
You mentioned the Sens are clinging to those chances of making the playoffs, and obviously it's just four games, but let's say they string together a couple more wins post All-Star break. Do you think that impacts and in any way what their plans were at the trade deadline? Or do you think that they had this vision of, like, well, this is where we were going to be anyway, that, you know, this streak is more indicative of who we are? Do you think it can impact at all what their original plans were for the trade deadline?
Oh, for sure. For sure. If they're 10 out, then Pierre Dorion wants to go. Like, he wants to trade something for this year. I don't know if he should. I think he probably shouldn't. But I think he wants to. Like, I think he wants to, for his group, offer some support to give a chance. And if they're 10 out, you can't, in good conscience, trade any sort of anything for a player for this year. But if you're 4 points out, well, then you can. You can sell it to ownership. You can sell it to the players, to the media. Like, this is not an unreasonable thing to do. So I do think, and Pierre Dorion has basically said, how they do in the next few weeks will determine what he does. I still think he should be shopping for, maybe it helps him this year, but that elusive right shot defenseman, they've been chasing for a year and a half. It's a time of year where players are getting traded and contracts are getting moved. So if you can go get that guy, not just for this year, but for next and beyond, then yeah, like, you are actively searching that. But you're not, like, to go get a straight rental, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. But he might do it if they continue to play well and win games post-break and get within 4 points of a playoff spot by the deadline.
Yeah, but I saw you and Darren did the desk for the Sens game against Montreal, and you're kind of talking about that and debating it. And I guess, you know, and Darren made the point of, but you don't want to give up Ridley Gregg and Shane Pinto and or your unprotected first round pick. And I'm like, well, if you're not giving up that, you're not getting anybody who's any good. It's like,
you see me jumping out of my chair. Like, well, at some point, if that's the cost, you got to make a decision. Like, nobody wants to give up a good player. No one wants to give up a good pick. But if you can't, if you need that other player, and they do, they absolutely do need another top four right shot defenseman. Like, it's going to cost you because other teams want it too. So either prepare to deal without it or prepare to pay the price to get it. But this kind of like flirting with the idea we need it, but we can't pay that much for it. Well, then you don't really need it because that's what it's going to cost you. So you got to make a call. And like, I'm not saying I want to give up Pinto. I'm not. But what the one interesting part about this, and I'm thinking about this out loud as we talk. Okay, so next year, let's just presume Josh Norris gets healthy. We cross our fingers that's the case. Stützle, Norris, Gregg, Pinto. Like, that's too many full centermen. It's a good problem to have. That's too many centermen to have one of those guys play on the fourth line. So maybe Mon moves to the wing, or maybe the emergence of Gregg, and if you trust what you see is real, then, like, maybe Pinto, I'm not saying he's expendable, but like, right. You know, like, you don't need four top flight centermen. Like, you know what it is? You can't afford in today's age to have four top flight centermen, because you need to use those assets to strengthen your team elsewhere. So maybe that's what's becoming apparent. Like, they have their three in Stützle, Norris, and whoever, Gregg or Pinto, and the other guy can maybe be used as a trade ship.
And maybe this, what we're seeing with Ridley Gregg, not that he's not needed, because you know, he's shown that he's needed and can fill, but it's a real good test drive to see what they've got through the rest of the NHL season. I'll just make one more point, and you can give me your thoughts, and we'll let you go on the potential of trading for a defenseman. I'm totally against the idea of even trading for somebody who's got term, Mike, right now, because in June and July at the draft and in the summer, you're going to have 31 other teams, and 30 of them are going to want to, in some cases, to a large extent or to a smaller extent, remake their team. They didn't win the Stanley Cup. And you're going to have a lot more options to me in the summer than you've got right now, which is why I would be very much against any sort of deal right now, even if it's for a player who's got some term. But that's my thought. You?
Yeah. The theory behind what you're saying makes sense. I guess I just wonder, will there be more options? And I don't know, because I just, you know, if there's 20 teams that are trying to make the playoffs now, like, maybe teams might be also very aggressive to try to help their cause right now, right? Like, so maybe a team's willing to trade a defenseman before the deadline so they can try to change their team around to take a run this year as opposed to in the summer. But yeah, like, you have to make sure you understand the leverage, the availability, the, you know, the supply and demand chain. But I am all for making a trade for a guy with term now or in the summer, but they better get a guy before the start of next year, or I'm not having this conversation anymore.
Okay. All right. That's a deal. We got it. We will make that commitment to you. Okay. Always appreciate the time and the insight, Mike. Enjoy the All-Star break and the All-Star weekend, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great weekend.